Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are really dealing with practical Christian matters, about as basic as you can get when we come to Romans 12:9, which opens by saying, "Let love be without hypocrisy." The fundamental requirement of Christians is to love, something that we are incapable of doing until we have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. But then we can. We can love God. We can love our fellow man. We can obey the first Decalogue, the first table of the Decalogue, and we can obey the last table of the Decalogue, because the first table all relates to God, and it all is summarized in loving Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second table, the Decalogue, has to do with our relationship with men, and that all hinges upon loving men as we ought to. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we would love others as much and in the same way as we love ourselves, we would fulfill all of the requirements of the law in regard to others. And if we would love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength, we would fulfill all the requirements that we have toward God. You say, "Well, I try, but I can't do it." And that's true. As long as we are still in this world and are not entirely sanctified, we will not be able to love God fully, supremely, perfectly, and will not be able to love others perfectly, but we continue to try. Our goal is to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and we continue to reach for that and to try to grow into that capacity, try to expand and enlarge our ability to love God in this way as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And likewise, we are always striving to be better at loving our neighbor as ourselves. That will constitute, I'm confident, a great deal of our prayer time, is asking God to help us to be this kind of Christian, to be more Christ-like, to be more loving, to genuinely live out a life of love in our relationships with others. And that will constitute the bulk of our confession of sin. When we sin, what have we done? Well, we've done this specific thing, that specific thing. We said something we shouldn't have said. We did something we shouldn't have done. But what was that? That was a failure to love as we should have loved. If we had loved that person the way we should have, we would not have misspoken as we did. If we had loved that person the way we should have, we would not have done the wrong thing toward them. If we had loved them as much as we love ourselves, we would have been far more considerate and careful than we were. So, let your love be without hypocrisy. Not like Judas, expressing his love for Christ even while he was betraying him, and betraying him to others with a kiss, for goodness sakes. You talk about hypocrisy, that's it. Don't you do that. Oh, how I love Jesus while you're disobeying Him and know it. Oh, how I love the brethren when you are doing anything but treating them honorably and kindly in the way that you want to be treated yourself. What a hypocrite. Don't profess your love for God if you're not endeavoring to keep His commandments. That's hypocrisy. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Don't express your love for the church and fail to support it in practical ways. Don't express your love for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the people of God if you aren't getting to the assembly of the saints when you could and should. Don't express your love for the church and for the people of God when you are not supporting the church financially and are helping the people of God in practical ways. Don't say that you will do things that you have no intention of doing. That's loving with hypocrisy. Saying that you will, but you have no intention of doing it. Some people are like that. Habitually. They'll always tell people what they think they want to hear. And so when asked to do something, they'll agree readily because they know that the person who's asking them wants to hear an affirmative answer. But you have no intention of doing it. That's letting your love be with hypocrisy. Don't do that. Don't let your love be with hypocrisy. Don't express concern about a brother or sister's needs and fail to help or encourage them in practical ways as you are able. That's hypocrisy. Don't speak well of your brother face to face and then run them down behind their back. That's hypocrisy. Don't express concern for a co-worker on the job and then work against them in your activities. That's hypocrisy. Let your love be without hypocrisy, Romans 12:9. Because genuine love will abhor the evil and cleave to the good. And that takes us to the next part of Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good is a further expression of genuine love. And so, number one, we are to love sincerely. Number two, we are to hate purely. Hate, you say? That's not part of the Christian life. Oh, yes, abhor that which is evil. Hate, but only hate purely. Abhor is a word which means hate exceedingly. Separate from, withdraw from, and denounce. It's a word that indicates intense loathing and hatred expressed. What a surprise to find that right alongside the command to love. Love without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. But that's what the Bible tells us. There are people who understand, at least in sentiment and expression, the requirement of Christians to love, but they have no concept whatsoever of the requirement for Christians to hate. But here it is. Abhor that which is evil. Hate what is evil. That's what it means. Hate exceedingly. Express your hatred, your intense loathing, your denunciation for that which is evil. And what is evil? It's whatever God calls evil. Study the Bible to find out what is evil. Whatever God hates, the children of God should hate. You might start with Proverbs 6:16-18. Six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Study that list. You'll know what God hates. That's not everything that God hates, but that's certainly part of what God hates. Study the list. You'll know what God hates. And then, if you're a child of God, hate what God hates. Love what God loves, hate what God hates. Love like God loves, and hate like God hates. For whatever is an abomination to God ought to be an abomination to the people of God. For you see, righteous hatred is a divine characteristic. Did you know that? I've made some of these statements without proving them, so let me prove some of them. Let me turn to Psalm 5 and read verses 4 and 5. The boastful shall not... verse 4. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You hate all workers of iniquity. How many times we have heard, God hates the sin but loves the sinner. That's not what the Bible says. That's what men say. I know what we're trying to get at, but it's a misunderstanding. It's a misrepresentation of what the Bible teaches. God couldn't tell us to love without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, if that were contrary to the way God himself is and acts. God's not going to tell us to do something that's contrary to his own nature, to his own divine characteristics. But this tells us what is his nature. He hates the workers of iniquity. Righteous hatred, dear friends, is a God-honoring characteristic. If you think it's only one text, and maybe that one is being misunderstood or misused, let me suggest a few more to you. Psalm 97:10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. You who love the Lord, hate evil. Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 4. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 139, verses 21 and 22. Psalm 139, 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, who hate you, and do not I loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And this and other texts that we could turn to teach us that tolerating evil is a very unchristian thing to do. In this day where we are taught that the greatest good is toleration of everything and anything, and the greatest evil is to be intolerant, we need to be reminded of what the Bible tells us, and that is that tolerating evil is a very unchristian thing to do. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. That is, hate that which is evil. To tolerate evil that God does not tolerate, that God hates, is to insult God, and it is to side with the enemies of God. If you love what God loves, you will hate what God hates. That's not so difficult to understand in certain areas. If you love flowers, you will hate whatever destroys them. That is, you will oppose whatever destroys the flowers, the bugs, the weeds, the rabbits, whatever it is. You will do your best to keep them from destroying the flowers. If you love children, you hate whatever destroys children. If you love children, you'll hate child molesters with a holy hatred. A Christian that prides himself in broad toleration of anything and everything is not a Bible Christian. If you don't really love in a Christian way, you don't really love in a Christian way if you don't hate in a Christian way, that is, in a godly way. You don't love Christ unless you hate Antichrist. You don't love truth unless you hate error. You don't love souls unless you hate what destroys souls. You don't love the gospel unless you hate false gospels that deceive and mislead. You don't love evangelism unless you hate what undermines and confuses and distorts evangelism. You don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ unless you hate what destroys them. You don't love Christian fellowship unless you hate what destroys it. You don't love marriage unless you hate adultery and fornication. You don't love truth unless you hate lying. You don't love without hypocrisy unless you abhor that which is evil. Think about these things. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.